advertisement. The views reflected on this show are not necessarily the views of ESPN 1000.
You mean to tell me that you went home and swiped a ball that was signed by Babe Ruth, and you brought it out here and actually played with it, and actually played with it? Yeah!
Are you one of those people that has to know how much the Babe Ruth ball is actually worth?
I was gonna bring it back, but it was signed by Babe Ruth! Yeah, you keep telling me that. Who is she?
We'll keep it right here, because today is your lucky day.
The Sultan of Slots!
King of Crack.
The Colossus of Clout. The Colossus of Clout. Babe Ruth!
It's time for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERC Delivery and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, and our producer, Eric Ostrowski. We're on every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Central Time, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. The number here is 312-332-3776. We have a nice prize this week, a box of 2016 Donruss Optic Baseball. These boxes have at least two autographs. I'd say every six or seven boxes, there's five autographs in them, which is kind of nice. I've seen a couple
actually,
of those
opened
come
up
out.
One, I think I got like six or seven autos in one. It was just like a hot box or something
like
that.
Yeah, they do
so that. Cool.
They do that fairly often in there. So it's a fun box to open. Panini that makes the Donruss Optic doesn't have an MLB license. So if, let's say, you get a Corey Seager rookie autograph card, it's not going to have a Dodgers logo on the hat, but it's still a cool-looking card. They have some very nice stuff on it that goes for some pretty good money, actually. And then don't forget now the October-November Huggins and Scott auction bidding. That auction will run from Halloween through November 10th. Bidding begins Halloween. Now, that should be an interesting first day. Lots of items already have been sent in for the auction, and we will actually still be talking about some of the prices from August. Now, typically we talk about mostly cards. For instance, in the August auction, there was an 86-87 Fleer basketball complete set with a PSA 9 graded Jordan rookie card sold for $7,600. That set, that's a hot
Very
set.
Nice.
It just seems to be getting hotter and hotter. I remember in the probably the early 90s, a couple buying a really nice 86 Fleer basketball set from me. And they're like, oh, do we want to spend $600 on this thing? It's like,
wow.
Yeah,
now, that's what you sold it for, $600.
At the time, I'll never forget that, because they were so like, oh, my gosh, $600. You know, it's different. Pricing has really changed in that time.
Do you still have their number?
Yeah, I wonder if they have that set. I did have an old customer from the 90s was in yesterday that had, he was a big basketball collector, and I think he started with 69, 70 tops. He has a lot of, we used to pack war 88 Fleer basketball packs.
Wow.
That was actually when I made the rule that you had to keep one.
Yep.
Yeah, when we were doing those packs. But, Bill, I think this guy's going to be getting a bunch of stuff together and sending them in. He has complete sets, and he said he's got something like 200 cards already graded. One of the cards he showed me, it was Saturday and it was getting busy, and it was a busy day yesterday, but one of the cards he showed me was a Kobe rookie numbered to 25, which I didn't even look at it that closely, but in a graded Kobe rookie numbered to 25, Bill, that's got to go for some bucks.
Oh, yeah. Does he have any unopened stuff?
You know what? Judging by the way
Vince
we used to pack.
Already have.
But judging by the way we used to open them at the time, I'd say it's very unlikely anything he has is unopened.
Is he related to Vince?
No, I don't think so. But he blazed the trail, though. Yesterday was a lot of people at T-Crown, and I was kind of excited because the Bears were on at noon. I think in the whole time that I've been there, I never remember a Bears Saturday noon game. And even being preseason, I'm thinking, okay, well, it's the third game, so they're probably going to play their regulars a long time. It'd be kind of cool to have it on. Luckily, it was busy, and I didn't see a lot of it. Because, boy, I looked up one time, and Alshon was dropping a pass right in his hands.
That was terrible.
Their
defense looked really, really strong in the first half, especially. Yeah, but
I think their D is actually going to be good this year. So, to me, they better be able to run the ball really well, or else it could be trouble.
Not looking too good for their offense.
Yeah, but think about it. If you can really just pound, if your offensive line isn't good pass blocking, let's say Kyle Long's hurt, well, you better be able to run block them and do some running. They got like four running backs. Run them a lot and then pass off of that.
Not looking too promising.
No. I do think at least I'm encouraged that they might have it. I think their defense is going to start out pretty good, and I think it's going to get better. But as long as their defensive backs can actually cover guys, which that's a little scary too. I don't know. So we'll see what happens. But it was every time I did look up, it was ugly.
Yep.
You know, Cuddy shaking his head. Kept seeing
that zero under the Bears, and it just after Alshon dropped that third and four or five, whatever it was, and
they had a thing in the Tribune with a recap of their different drives yesterday, and they didn't. They called it the Ick Six. So they had six drives. They gained like 53 yards over six drives. Jeez. And 45 of them were in their second half drive. And then David Haugh had Waste of Chicago, Bears Ruin a Saturday afternoon. I was thinking, boy, I'm glad it was busy and I didn't just sit there and tear my hair out through the whole game. I hope they're better this year than that. Don't be horrible. I guess if they are horrible, they're going to have a good defense base to build with, and they'll have high draft picks. But
I guess we'll see.
Come on. They got to be better than that. My wife and I went to eat after the game, and I asked the waiter, I go, did you watch the Bears? He was like, oh, my God. and it was like, I don't know. Are they laying in the weeds or just waiting for it, or are they laying in the weeds? Like, he cracked up. He goes, yeah, did they?
They're under the weeds. Yeah. That's the way they looked yesterday.
They're burying themselves in weeds, so I don't know. Well, the number here is 312-332-3776. Give us a call with a question about the value of your collectibles. You can tweet a picture of an item. Superman Todd Bill actually tweeted a pretty neat item here. This would be a good Huggins and Scott item if it's a authentic signature. Looks like there's a little like a rectangular headshot of Jimi Hendrix and then a white card next to it, you know, with where it's attached, Stay Free Jimi Hendrix signature. If that's real, I've seen some of his signatures like that go for $3,000-$4,000. So,
So I think we already got that Elvis thing. Didn't that?
Oh yeah. I sent in Elvis for the listener a week or so ago. That looked good, didn't it? Wasn't that a neat piece?
Yeah, I think that the guys are going up, I think, next week to JSA. But I think Ricky already sent a picture to Jimbo, and he said, looks good to me. I just need to see it in person.
Good. Oh, yeah. That it's such a nice, clear signature. That's going to be in the November auction with bidding starting October 31st. I'll be tweeting that again, too. And the story behind that where Elvis called him up.
Wow.
He's a high school guy. It was a great story. That was awesome. I got an email from a listener, actually, Dan V. He had emailed a couple years ago. I guess he wrote a book on Eastern Illinois football. And at the time, he had asked what I thought of Jimmy Garoppolo. And I vaguely remember this. He sent what I had said at the time. I was like, I kind of knew what I was talking about at the time. But he says, hi again, just wanting to update my story from a few years back. How are Jimmy Garoppolo cards doing now that he will start the first four games for New England? How does he compare to Tony Romo, who may just about be finished with his career? He says, I had forgotten that Romo went to Eastern Illinois also. Both those guys went to Eastern. Here's something I didn't realize. Romo didn't play his first game until he was 26. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. So I was thinking, well, already Garoppolo, I think he's 23 or 24, and he hadn't really played much yet, but he's still ahead of Romo. The problem is, how long is Brady going to play? How long is he going to be behind him? How much career stats will he be able to put up? But this is going to be a good test for Garoppolo to see how good he is.
I think if you ask Brady, Brady wants to play for another 5, 6, 7 years and feels he can do it. So
yeah.
We'll see.
I'll reword it, but Brady said, I'm going to play until I stink. He used a different word, but he
did. Yep.
So I think, yeah, he wants to play as long as he's healthy and still playing well. He'll keep playing. But Garoppolo's stuff is going pretty well. A one-of-one patch auto from 2014 sold for $1,750. I compared him to Bortles and Derek Carr, two other really good rookie quarterbacks from 2014. Personally, I'd rather have either one of them myself than Garoppolo's stuff. Who do you like better, Bortles or Derek Carr? I think I like Bortles
better. I like
better.
Bortles, his offense, yeah. Allen Robinson and Allen Hearns on the wide receiver spot. 35 touchdowns last year, I think, Bortles.
Yeah, he had a surprisingly good fantasy. I had him as my backup on one of my teams, and he had a surprisingly good fantasy year last year. But Derek Carr is really good, too, and he's got a couple young receivers and a couple good running backs. So anyway, Garoppolo's stuff is selling better than it was a couple years ago, and he's pretty close to what Carr and Bortles are doing in pricing. I was kind of surprised Garoppolo was that high, but I guess a lot of guys really like him. Belichick seems to like him, too.
And the national exposure being on New England, I think, helps him as well. A little bit more visibility for him and what he does.
That's exactly right. So we'll see on that. And then... how about Gary Sanchez of the Yankees?
Your guy.
I picked him up on my fantasy team a week ago Sunday for a very small amount. And the way our fantasy league works, you have $1,000 in pretend money that you get to use throughout the year and pick up players. So I got him for a low. I bid $15. I couldn't stand Hundley anymore. I wanted power from Hundley in Colorado, and I couldn't take it anymore. And I'm thinking, this Gary Sanchez, looks like they're going to play him now. So I'll throw in 15. One guy bid $1. Yeah. And since 2 weeks ago today, so in those 2 weeks, he has 9 home runs, and he's hitting like 500.
You're flying up the standings. Your team is coming
there.
On. I think you're in third now.
Yeah, I'm third or fourth, but I'm right there where the top three win money.
Well, that's good.
And speaking of fantasy,
yes, I never thought I'd be such a golf fan.
I know. When you have somebody that's on the leaderboard in golf, and both of us actually have a chance to win this, there's 80 guys in this fantasy golf. When I started this before last year, I didn't even know there was a weekly golf tournament. I thought there were like 8 tournaments a year. They had the 4 majors and a couple other tournaments, and that was it. Now, if my guy's in it, I'll watch that Sunday, the last few holes, pretty much every Sunday. Well, Vince and I are both in the top 10 of the fantasy golf overall. And if this is a big tournament this week for us, because the winner gets like $1.5 million or $1.6 million, I wish we really got that.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Or even 10%.
We might own this building if we did, but you know.
But neither one of us, and I don't know if anybody has Ricky Fowler's at -9. Vince has Patrick Reed at -8, and I have Adam Scott at -7.
Yep.
So it's like, boy, we're right there.
That's
now,
right.
if Vince's guy, Patrick Reed, wins, I think he's in first or second.
Yeah.
And if my guy wins, I'm going to be in the top 3 with like 3 weeks left. So this is a lot of fun. Really exciting. I never thought that fantasy golf would be fun. I thought when you brought
that
up.
Or this exciting. I mean, I'm looking forward to
it. I know
today.
These tournaments. A couple weeks ago, I was about ready to give up after I had had a couple of bad things. But boy, all of a sudden, I'm still right back in it again. So we'll see what happens.
Be a fun day.
And then let's see. We've got a couple tweets here from people. Now, don't forget, the previews aren't up yet for the November auction. But what I wanted to. Actually, about 10 minutes later, what I was originally starting to get to is usually we talk about card values, but I want to talk about some items and mix them in that sold in the Huggins and Scott August auction that aren't just cards, that are some maybe a little bit more unusual type items. For instance, they had a Thomas Edison signed photo. Ooh. Sold for $675.
Nice.
I remember reading a book about him when I was a kid, and I always liked Thomas Edison after that. They had a Donald Trump autographed $1 bill sold for $200. Hillary,
that much, huh?
It may be dropping in value. Hillary Clinton autographed baseball cap, a Yankees cap, sold for $500. I wonder how much that Dan Quayle signed cap. Bill, at T Crown, I don't even know where I got this, but I have a golf hat signed by the former VP, Dan Quayle. He signed it on the bill. And we use that to throw whenever we're doing splits, we'll have like six tickets and we'll throw the tickets in the Dan Quayle hat. And wouldn't it be funny if it was like, Dan Quayle, he never signs any. That's a $10,000 hat. Actually, I think it's, don't you think, Bill, probably $25 to $50 would be more like it?
Yeah, I think the only way you're getting $1,000 for that is if you put about $950
cash. Yeah, sew it into the hat. Yeah.
Wasn't he going to be the next JFK per him?
There's a lot of guys in their minds. Yes, they are, yeah, yes. But it didn't quite happen that way. It makes a good hat, though. It's an interesting story. We've got some colors waiting. It's already time. We get to this first break awfully fast.
Very
we
fast. Ramble. 0-60 it's the first in like, break. You know, 10 seconds here.
Yeah. So anyway, the number's 312-332-3776. Hang in there. It's time for a short break. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan. Sponsored by ERCDelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Central Time. Well, at least now, actually, for the next 2 weeks, we're on from 8 to 9. Starting when the pro football season, the first Sunday game on September 11th, we'll move back to the 7 to 8 time slot, and Jeff Meller's fantasy football show will be on their typical 8 to 9 a.m. slot. So we're on 8 to 9 this week and next week, and then it's already the week after that as we move back to the 7 to 8. Don't forget to check to set your alarm, Bill. Of course, for you, you're usually in the Eastern time zone. It's a little later for you, huh?
We get that extra hour over you guys.
Yeah, I've just actually today the alarm actually went off for the first time. I usually, even on Sunday mornings, I wake up before the alarm. Today it went off, and I'm like, oh, great. Now I'm sleeping until this one, and now I'm going to have to get up an hour earlier next in a couple of weeks.
We'll make It'll it be fun either way.
Yeah, yep. That 7 to 8 time slot, there's some guys that can only listen at that slot that they have to do stuff. So it'll be good to get back to some of them. And hopefully some of the people that have been listening to 8 to 9 will be able to listen 7 to 8 also. Now, I got through Twitter from Charpay, Charpay 16, sent a picture of a Michael Jordan lithograph, 192 of 200, both MJ and artist signatures plus LOA, depending, I guess, what the LOA is from. I don't know. But I have similar type things on my website, on the Bulls page on my website, that are Upper Deck authenticated, and they're in the $1,400, $1,500 range. So I would think this one, maybe the artist, you know, helps. So I would say you're probably at least in the $1,400, $1,500 range with that one. So. And you can go to tcrowntom.com and check out my website, some of the stuff on there. Then go to hugginsandscott.com. You can look up through the auction history some of the prices of some of the items that have sold through past auctions, and they still show the August auction up there, so you can see some pictures of some of the stuff, and it's all right there. The 1953 John F. Kennedy signed dinner program sold for $1,200. Now, Bill, a program like that for a president in the past, does it typically sell more if something is signed like that while he's president rather than before the time he was president, or does that matter at all?
Well, a lot of times signed during the presidency, if it's dated on the program during his presidency, those things will typically get more money than either before or after he was in office.
Yeah, but that's what I thought. It seemed like that's the target time for something like that. Banks from Schererville is on the line. What do you have there? Is Banks correct with the first name?
Yes, it is.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great, gentlemen. How are you this morning?
Good. What's new?
Good. Oh, not much. I picked up this it's a picture frame, very nicely done with a like a trophy heading on the bottom. It says Famous Golfers of 1930, and it's all cards from Will's Cigarettes.
Okay, yeah. I remember taking in some of the famous golfers from the 30s and running them a while ago. I don't think they sold for a whole bunch in auction yet. Now, these are they're glued into pages in the to a page in the frame. Is that correct?
No, they're they got those dog ear on the corners where they slide in.
Okay.
And there's 10 golfers here. I have no idea if they were famous or not. It's a little bit before my time. There's people like Roger H. Weathered, Harold D. Gillies, Miss Joyce Weathered, R.H.D. Montemorcy, R.H. Hardy, Harry Varden.
Well, Harry Varden's a bigger name.
And Arnold Massey, James Braid, Alexander Hurd.
How many total do you have?
There's 10 in the frame, and they look just perfect. There was one that was loose that come out of the dog ear, and it has the history of each golfer on the back of it. I guess they used to have them out of cigarettes back then.
Yeah, Bill, what do you think of that? Like, let's say he was able to get them out of the little picture holders, and they aren't indented. Let's say they come out and their eights and nines in condition. Would that be something that you would think would be worthwhile for a Huggins and Scott auction, or only if they're that nice, or any condition?
Yeah, the problem is that what they are, Banks, is they're English tobacco cards. That most of them were produced over in England during that time period, and they did all sorts of cards back then. The real problem, though, was they really didn't have any copyright laws over there, so they kept reproducing these things over and over and over again. And you always find them. They're always in perfect condition. They come in little sets of 10 or 25 or 50, and they typically don't sell for a lot of money. They look nice. They make great display, but their value is very, very little, only because there's just so many of them out there.
And I think part of it, too, there's not the demand for golf cards, maybe that there would be if that was a set that had Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig in it, you know, that there is for baseball cards from that era. Still pretty neat, though, something that was printed in the 30s, and it has a couple pretty good names on it. So I take it that isn't something you'd probably want to auction if he did decide he wanted to sell it, Bill?
Well, you'd need a whole lot more of them. We have sold some of those collections of English tobacco cards, but it has been like, a group of 10 or 20 different sets of them.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Together from different types of sports or non-sports or actors and actresses. They did quite a number of those things.
Definitely makes a cool-looking display, I bet, though. So a neat item, but just one of those weird, quirky things where not as much as you think it might be. But thanks for the call. All right, next on the line we have Steve's on the road, cruising on the road. What do you have there, Steve?
Hi, fellas. I have two questions. First of all, years ago, we used to live out in the Boston area, and my kids were little, and we once went to the Cape Cod League and watched summer baseball. I know in my basement I've got a program signed by a number of guys that made the majors. Any value?
Cape Cod League. What year was that? What are some of the bigger names that made it to the majors?
You know, I think Mo Vaughn was one of them, and I just can't think of the others. Are you familiar with the Cape Cod League?
Bill, you've...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, the Cape Cod League, that's the breeding ground for a lot of the Boston Red Sox. I think most of the big guys went through the Cape Cod League.
Yeah, it is.
You really need a big collection of some of the better names that came through there, Yaz or Wade Boggs or something like that, in order to
to get into the couple of $100 range.
Yeah, Mo Vaughn's one of those guys that his career kind of blew up in his face. He got off to a good start, but really didn't have that great of a career. So most of his stuff's not really worth a ton.
Yeah, Frank Thomas came through the Cape Cod League, I'm pretty sure, didn't he?
Frank Thomas?
Yeah.
He was with the Birmingham Barons. I know that. That's the only minor league team I remember him for sure being with. I think there were cards from the Birmingham Barons of him. I remember Frank Thomas's first game, actually.
Really?
Yeah. It was exciting when you thought he was going to be good. And when a guy that you think is going to be good actually is good. Although the Cubs now, that's happening pretty regularly. Yes. It's pretty amazing.
Nice to see.
You know, I have a card on. I picked up in a trade I have on eBay right now. Javier Baez and Francisco Lindor. And I think it's number 12 of 50 or something like that, which was Lindor's jersey number. Those two guys, Baez, I have never seen a young guy improve so quickly as Baez has. And Lindor is just, to me, he's all around just a great young shortstop. He's kind of lost because there's so many good young shortstops, but he's really good. He's one of the best fielders of any of them.
And both those guys are really good off-the-field gentlemen as
well.
Yeah,
it seems like it. Really good guys. Yes. I'm really impressed with Baez. I was hoping if the Cubs were going to trade with the Sox for Sale that Baez was going to be in that deal. Because I think if he keeps improving like he's improved since his first call-up, I think he's got a chance to be really good. Great fielder, too.
I was hoping they'd trade him last year, but kind of glad they kept him.
Yeah, so. Now he's, boy, don't you do you believe how much he's improved?
It's amazing.
It's really been pretty incredible. And then, we had brought in another item that got brought into Triple Crown in Naperville. And if you bring something in, and if I tweet a picture of it and mention it on the show, you get in the drawing. I actually had something that I sent along to Huggins and Scott. He had a 1967 St. Louis Cardinals signed baseball. It was missing Lou Brock, but it had Maris and all the other big names on it. Kurt Flood's a tough signature. Nice ball. I think that's already at Huggins and Scott for the October-November auction. But he also had, I thought this was neat, because of the extra signatures on it, but it didn't sound like it was probably valuable enough to be in its own thing. But what do you think about this, Bill? A 1966 St. Louis Cardinal signed photo with, in addition to maybe half the players on the team signed it, it had signatures of Jack Buck, Harry Carey, and Skip Carey.
Oh,
now, Skip Carey, actually, I guess he was an announcer doing some, he might have been doing college sports at the time. It was before he went, I guess, to the Braves. But what do you think of the value of that? Because with Buck, to me, the real value to that one is Buck, Harry Carey, and Skip on it. Do you think that's pretty good because of that, Bill, or not that exciting?
Well, no, I think that's very unique. You're not going to find too many of those like that. Are they pictured in the picture as well? Or
they're not pictured. They signed underneath. There was a space there underneath, and they signed, like the guys signed on their pictures, and then those three signed underneath. But Jack Buck and Harry Carey, that was the announcing team for a long time for the Cardinals. And so I thought that was pretty cool, them together, and then you throw in Harry's son, Skip Carey, on it. I don't know. Now, we didn't send that along, but if you think, let me know if you think you'd want that in a Huggins and Scott auction, and I think he would want to send that to you if you thought it might do at least $400 or $500. If you didn't think it was going to do that, I think he wanted to keep it. In your mind, do you think it has that potential?
Well, it really kind of depends on who's on it, besides the announcers.
It had Cepeda, Flood. It was before Maris.
I don't know that it's going to get to $400 or $500.
Yeah, that's why we didn't send it in. We didn't think so either. It was cool. I really liked it. I mean, it was neat. But I thought it was more maybe $150, $200 range or so. And
I think you're right.
Yeah. It was too bad. I would have liked to have had it, actually. I thought it was really neat. Joe from Morris is on the line. What do you have, Joe? What's up?
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Hey, how you been?
I've been all right. I've been going to come up see you and I haven't got there, but I will next week or so.
Seems like it's always pouring rain in Morris. Is that just what it looks like on the weather map, or did you guys get a lot of rain this year?
We've had two different rains in the last couple of weeks that are over 5 inches each time.
Oh, my God. 2 inches.
I know. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's not good down here. So the grass is growing, though.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to mow six times a week. But
yeah, right. Well, Tom, I got six different groups of really old and in great condition official baseball guides, like complete run from 1943 to 64, published by Sporting News. Baseball registers, complete run 41 to 64. World Series programs, complete run 74 to 95. One of the book, complete runs by Sporting News, like 52 to 62. There's only 10 of those, however. Who's Who in Major League Baseball, complete runs 43 to 52. I got six different groups that the gentleman gave me, they look like they're just still on the shelf. I mean, they're unbelievable. I just wanted, if there's some value, I'd run them up to your store, and if not, I'll just keep them.
Well, if the programs were from the 40s and 50s, that would be really good, but the programs to me are pretty good. I don't know the journals and some of the other magazines, Bill, are those years anything for you? Or to me, typically,
I'd probably say that the whole collection of the different runs of those, we've run groups of those things before, and condition is and content is going to be a big factor in determining what they sell for. But no, I mean, how many total books do you think are in this collection?
Oh, geez, Bill, there's at least 50, 60. At least that many. 43 to 64 complete run. 41 to 64. There's 23 right there,
yeah.
Phil.
Yeah.
Just
right.
On the baseball registers. And I mean, they are, you'll see, Tom, if I bring them up, they're really near mint.
Oh, so they're really clean, too, huh?
Oh, no, they're clean. They're clean. This guy had them saved, and it must have been an attic in boxes. And he passed away, and his son gave them to me for. So I'm just. I just thought I'd call you, see if they're worth anything. If they are, I'll bring them up.
What do you think, Bill? Is that something that would you want to see pictures of it first, or is that something you think you'd want to try or not try?
Oh, I think, you know, based on what he was saying there, I think that it could be a lot for sure, especially if they're in nice condition like this.
Okay, so it might be worth a shot, Joe, if you want to give it a shot.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot, Tom. I'll come up and see you next week, and I'll bring him.
All right, very good. See you then.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. The number here is 312-332-3776. We're on till 9, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. We're giving away a box of 2016 Donruss Optic Baseball to one caller, or if you email a question, you get in the drawing if I use it, or if you tweet a picture of an item that I get to. I know we've got some waiting here from Twitter pictures, too. So anyway, hang in there. We'll be right back. And Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on till 9. Taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. The number's 312-332-3776. We're giving away a box of 2016 Donruss Optic Baseball. Vince will do the drawing at the end of the show. And Vince's company, ERC Delivery, will deliver to the winner free of charge directly to their door if the winner emails Vince by Thursday this yes. week after the show. So 312-332-3776. Now, T Crown Tom is my Twitter ID, and you can tweet a picture of an item. Superman Todd actually tweeted, looks like he put some Cape Cod background on here, and Frank Thomas was on Orleans in the Cape Cod League in 88. He was in the Cape Cod League.
I thought I heard that somewhere.
Yeah, lots of good players in there. A. Ferris sent pictures of a ball. Bill, this would be a beauty in a Huggins and Scott auction. It's a 1934 St. Louis Cardinals team signed baseball. They won the championship that year with Rogers Hornsby, Dizzy Dean, Medwick, and Frisch. It looks like he tried to send a video. This browser does not support video playback. So, oh, well, but I do see the picture. It looks like it might have been shellacked over the years, and it's got some of that browning on it, but it looks like the signatures are very readable. You think that's at least a couple grand, Bill?
I think that's the Gas House gang.
Yeah.
No, that's, if he's got 20-plus signatures on it, and
It looks like it.
A lot of times when these guys shellac those balls, which was a common thing back then, what that does is that preserves the signatures. They're not going to fade. And
yeah.
A lot of guys, they don't mind that. You know, it's yeah. done lightly.
They look like they're really solid signatures from judging from this kind of blurry picture. It's an okay picture. So, yeah, that would be a Huggins and Scott auction item for sure. If those are all authentic, I mean, at least a couple grand, maybe more. I could see the bidding. I mean, a championship team, the best nickname of any team ever, the Gas House Gang.
Yep.
Remember the one guy sent a picture? He was his dad was a, or was it his grandfather maybe? Played on that team, and they had started a band.
Yes,
he found
that.
a video of that band. That was pretty cool. Yeah, what a team. All right, well, we got a lot of callers waiting here, so let's get to them. We've got, let's see here, Gary from Arlington Heights has been waiting. What's up, Gary? Thanks for waiting.
Yeah, hi. I have a picture in front of me of Harry Carey interviewing Michael Jordan, you know, when he was playing baseball, you know, between the championship years.
Yeah.
And I have Michael Jordan's autograph and Harry Carey on the right saying, "Holy cow, Harry Carey."
Oh.
And it's a picture of him interviewing him, you know, for baseball.
Yeah, they had a baseball card of that. Now, is this a full-size photo or a card?
Yeah, full-size, a black and white photo.
Okay.
With
now,
both their signatures on it.
Did you get them signed in person, or did you buy that?
No, I got it from someone else, yeah.
Okay, is it authenticated?
No, I'd have to do that. I'd go to Naperville to your place and get it authenticated if I could.
Well, we don't authenticate there, but let's say you wanted to auction it with Huggins and Scott Auctions. I'd send it to Bill. They'd get it authenticated first. If it's authentic, then they would auction it for you. And, Bill, what do you think? Harry Carey and Michael Jordan dual signed photo. I like it.
Yeah, no, that'd be a great item for sure. It just needs to get, like Tom said, just needs to get authenticated, but it could be 500 to 1,000, maybe more if it's that unique.
Yeah, depending on how it looks, I could see that the exact same thing. That's nice.
Yeah, it's a good shape.
So if you want to send it in, Bill, there's still time if somebody needs to get an autograph authenticated for the October-November auction. There's still time for people to send to you?
Yes. Oh, plenty of time. Yes. Okay. We've got probably at least 2 to 3 more visits to JSA before this auction.
All right, Gary. Well, if you do stop in to Triple Crown in Naperville this week, then I could send it to them for you.
Okay, sure. Be happy to do that.
Yeah, great. Thanks for the call. Next on the line, we've got Randy from Wooddale. What's new, Randy? What do you have?
Hey, good morning, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've got a 1985 Bears Super Bowl calendar. It's done by Miller Lite Presents, the Chicago Bears. It actually says 86-87 calendar underneath, but it's for the 85 Super Bowl Bears. It says Bears 46, Patriots 10.
Did anybody sign it, Randy?
No, I don't have any signatures in it. It's still in the original wrapping.
Maybe $20 for that, I would think, you know, with not being signed. Would have been a nice Walter Payton signed item. I picked up a nice Walter Payton rookie this week and sent it in for grading. The grading, when you think, okay, it could be like a 7.5, it could be an 8.5, you know, you're not 100% sure. The difference in value is so much different. You just never know what the difference is going to be. It's like if it's a 7.5, it might be 250 to 300. If it's an 8.5, it's like a grand or so. So, I mean, and then you just kind of cross your fingers and hope they look at it the way you look at it.
Yeah.
I bet you guys are on a scale to the nth degree on that, Bill, as far as stuff you guys send out for grading.
Oh, yeah. No, I think it's standard procedure. Everything looks better to the people who own it. You
know? Yeah, that is for sure. Rarely do you have somebody come in and they're like, I don't know, I don't think this is that great, but you look at it and you're like, whoa, this is, yeah, usually they're like, I got something that's worth a fortune here, and you look, it's like, okay, I see this, but where's the thing that's worth a fortune?
Yeah, I've had guys call me up with collections and everything's missed and they're there in 45 minutes. How many accidents did you get in on the way here?
Yeah, right. It looks like all your stuff got dinged up. I'll never forget in 1998 when the home run race with Maguire and Sosa, and the Maguire rookie card from 85 Tops was absolutely on fire. And my UPS driver at T-Crown goes, I got a mint Maguire rookie card. He goes, I go, really? Oh, those are hot. At the time, the PSA 9s were selling for like $900. Wow. I mean, they were on fire. So I go, well, show it to me. You know, if you want, I'll get it graded for you and put it on eBay or whatever. And he comes in the next time, and he pulls it out of his pocket. It looked like it looked like he had rolled it up in his hands, rubbed it all together, stuffed it in his pocket. Oh, and I laugh. I go, okay, where's the one that you were talking about? He goes, no, this is the one right here. He thought it was mint. Wow. I don't know how you could think that was mint, but it was like, you know, then you have to go into the old explanation. Well, here's one that's actually mint, and here's yours. Do you see the difference? Oh, yeah.
About eight numbers different. Yeah. But what a seemingly magical year 1998 was for baseball. It just a magical year.
Yeah, it
and
really
then all the PEDs scandal came out.
Yeah, in retrospect, it really put the pin in the balloon. But meanwhile, at the time, it was incredible.
With Maris's family being out there to witness Maguire's, you know, historic home run, supposedly, and then.
And think about that from their standpoint, then. They're like, we're there watching, and the guy cheated to do it. That must have made them kind of sick.
Kicking the stomach.
Yeah, right. Brian from Crete's on the line. What do you have there, Brian?
Hey, I have a 1998 game-worn finals jersey. Scottie Pippen, that's signed by him, and then I have the ticket stub from that same game, and that's signed by Kukoc, Randy Brown, and Steve Kerr.
So you got a Pippen finals worn jersey. How'd you get that?
So my dad was working for a large hotel in the city at the time, and I was a 12-year-old kid at the time, kind of became that staple maniac fan behind the behind the home net, and actually, the ticket stub that I have is a front row ticket as well. It's behind one of the nets.
Wow.
And I kind of became that, always had a different jersey and painted my hair and kind of just became that lunatic, you know, young kid fan and kind of built up a nonverbal rapport with some of the players. And then after, I believe it was, it would have been game five back at home, I got a look at the ticket, but yeah, Pippen, I asked for his jersey. I asked for every player's jersey after every game, and sure enough, I got Pippen's, got him to sign it, and then the ticket stub I got signed shortly after that.
Wow, that's big, a Pippen finals-worn jersey.
And I have to double, I'm in the car now, I'd have to double check. I believe it was game five.
Okay, wow. Now, Bill, do you want to, could you even give an estimate on that? Have you seen a Pippen finals-worn jersey, or is that one you just auction and just, and... just listen for.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that could be a home run. I mean, and actually, you may be surprised at what that would go for. There's been a lot of Jordans that have been sold, but not a lot of Pippen.
I don't remember ever seeing a Pippen. I wonder if Scotty has a collection at his house of a bunch of those.
Is that something? I got them in person. Is that something? I mean, as far as authentication or anything like that, I mean, I got it in person as a 12-year-old kid. Is there anything further I have to do with that? Or
well, let's say, okay, Bill, let's say that Brian brings it into Triple Crown. I send it to Huggins and Scott for the October-November auction. When you guys get it there, what do you guys do?
Well, it just needs to be checked for the proper tagging and size and any types of patches or logos that are on there, and you know there's historic records of what size he wore and how many extra inches they would add and all that, and if it passes all the tests, it pretty much authenticates itself.
And then Brian, if you have any pictures or anything that you have to support it, anything that you can find, it doesn't hurt, it just helps
prove
it.
I have the ticket stubs. Great.
Yeah, and if you took pictures, if you have pictures of Pippen wearing the jersey that game, and they could look at that. I mean, there's anything that you have, get it all together. And if you do decide you want to auction it, I mean, just that's right when their next auction is right when the NBA season starts. That'd be great timing to do it.
That could be huge.
Yeah, that'd be fun to watch to see what that does. We would definitely, I'd tweet a picture of that one and talk about it on the show, too. Keep the listeners updated on what it's going for. That'd be fun to watch.
Great. Well, thank you guys so much.
Thanks, Brian. Next on the line, we have Alan from Antioch. What do you have there, Alan?
Hey, what's going on? Happy Sunday.
Same to you.
All right, so I have in the office here. Now, this is it's a picture of Gale Sayers, and to be honest, I'm not 100% sure if it's a picture or a painting, but it's signed by an artist in the corner, so it might be a really good painting. But it's Gale Sayers. It's about 18 by 24 inches. It's autographed by Gale Sayers, and it says in the corner it's number 215 out of 350 made.
Huh. Do you know who the artist is?
You know what? He wrote it really small. If I read it correctly, I believe it says C. Oh, and you know what it says? It says Pro Case.
Hmm.
Copyrighted by Pro Case, I guess, is what it says in the corner. And it says 215 out of 350. And it looks like a picture. It just looks like a picture of him in his jersey on the sideline at Wrigley Field.
Does it look like a print then, you know, or a serigraph, I guess they call them, or, you know, as far as how does it look? Does it look like it almost looks like an original painting?
It kind of does. It kind of does. And if it is, it's really, really good. It's not just like a classic picture that you took with like a camera.
Well, I'm thinking, Bill, that if, from my standpoint, Sayers signs a bunch. Now, maybe because of what this is, it's more, but I'm thinking it's probably something in the $100 to $200 range that might be good at on the wall at T-Crown, but not for Huggins and Scott, or are you?
Yeah, I think you're right, Tom. Yeah. I mean, especially the fact that it's numbered out of 300 some. If it was a one-of-one type thing, that's a whole different story, but when they number them out of 300 and something, it's certainly not an original painting of anything.
No. Yeah, if it was an original painting, then it could be at Huggins and Scott. But I would think that might be something, Alan, if you did want to bring it into Triple Crown, maybe on consignment on the wall there. If I like the looks of it, I'll do that. I think that might be kind of neat. We get guys bringing stuff in. A lot of times I'll post pictures of items, even if you're not sure that you want to sell something, but if you think it's a cool item and you want me to tweet a picture and mention it on the show, that some of the stuff people bring in during the weekend.
That's kind
of
cool, being there when they bring it in. I've been there. Good timing things where I'm just sitting there and in comes an amazing collection. So.
Oh, well, you were there when he brought in the Star Player candy set in those frames. I hope I know it's a big family decision for him, but I sure would love to see him auction those. I would just love to see what that goes for. I mean, that really seems like the sky would be the limit on those. That would be so much fun to watch to see what that does. You know, but from our standpoint, our retirement's not riding on it either. You know, it's a tough decision for our family on something.
But it'd be fun
to
talk about and see it and tweet pics out and just discuss
it. It was beautiful. It was impressive, wasn't it?
Yep, absolutely.
Well, it's time to do the drawing.
This week's winner is Gary from Arlington Heights. So, Gary, email me your address, work or home, and we'll deliver free to your door.
And what's the email?
Vince@ercdelivery.com before Thursday.
Before Thursday, that's right. Okay. And don't forget to check out HugginsandScott.com. Pretty soon, Bill, maybe this week, late in the week or the next week, you'll have previews of the October-November auction. There's going to be, I know there's already been some cool stuff come through T-Crown.
Yeah, I think they're going to switch the site over either this week or right after the holiday, one of the two.
All right. Very good. And then check out TCrownTime.com. Hang on for Jeff Miller.